It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined, as always, by Gemma Konecko.
Hello.
And once again, the lovely and talented Ian Kay is in the studio
Yay,
with us.
Lovely and talented.
Wow, an honor that I got the lovely and talented.
You got the lovely and talented.
What was Gemma, professional and organized? Is that the
yes,
other one?
She's both professional and organized.
However, I did also get lovely and talented a couple weeks ago.
She did. Okay. In an attempt not to be sexist, I went too far in the other direction. That's what I learned. So we're going to try to balance it out over time.
Never
That's
speak
the key.
To your coworkers.
Never
yeah,
speak,
never speak.
Never tweet.
Yep.
Never date.
Yeah.
Never walk. I don't know. What else did we say?
Just don't
never
do
bunt.
Anything.
Never do anything.
That's the key. Don't ever do anything.
Never do anything.
And on that note, we're out of time. Thank you so much. No, but we do have a jam-packed show for you this week. I don't know if you know this, but the Major League Baseball season is like almost over. By the time you listen to this podcast, it very well may be over because the next one we record will be done once the postseason is underway, which is crazy to think about. So we're gonna talk a little bit about some end of season awards, maybe not the ones that you're thinking of, and that's totally fine. We'll also talk about the postseason structure and maybe some slight tweaks we can make to improve it, because obviously we can improve it, the three of us who write jokes about baseball for MLB.com.
There's no better option, really. Who else would you even ask?
And then we're going to answer a Twitter question that came to us, which major leaguer has the best smile? That probably will stir a lot of arguments here amongst the Cut 4 staff.
Yeah.
Especially with the czar, the Cut 4 czar here.
So good to be back.
He's arisen back to his throne. But before we get to all of that, we have, of course, the Cut 4 cast pop quiz. Gemma and Ian, this is their favorite part of the show. I know that.
Yep.
They made it very clear last week when they did their impressions of some really great baseball calls. Definitely go back and listen to that. It was
definitely
fantastic.
Definitely don't do that.
Download
at
it.
All.
You may want to record it onto a cassette tape so that you can make sure to have it, or like onto a vinyl record so you can make sure to have it even in the case of like power outages and stuff like that.
How would you listen to
know.
A cassette player with no power?
Gemma, you know.
How are you? Is that a hand-cranked gramophone that you think these people have?
Maybe.
That they're going to put on a wax cylinder
Maybe.
And, like, spin
If there
it?
Was, like, you know, an EMP, like, we're on 24 and you can't listen to a podcast, you want to have that saved forever. It was that good. But enough deflecting. It's time to get into the Cut 4 cast pop quiz. Now, because we've reached the end of the regular season, I thought it might be a nice time to take a look back. Maybe not at the actual season, but instead on the back... look back on the first season of the Cut 4 cast. And with that, here comes our pop quiz.
Wow.
I'm going to read a quote that one of the three of us said. And you're going to have to say which one it is, which one of the three of us said it, all right? Does that
is
work?
It, is it definitely one of the three
it
of us?
It's definitely one of the three
so
of us.
So no I was one going else to, has ever been on the
I
Cut 4
You know,
cast.
I thought about including some of the others, Mike Claire, Mike Bertha, Ben, Chris, but... I said, you know what, we'll keep it simple. We'll keep it just with the three of us for now. Just
okay.
I've listened to every episode.
I'm sure you have, especially the ones that you're
That's
on.
A fact.
Yeah.
Well, actually, once I'm on, I don't listen to it.
Yeah. So. I hate hearing the sound of my own voice, so I've never listened to a single Cut 4 cast.
Oh my God, what a coincidence. I hate hearing the sound of your voice, too. On that note, here we go. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
All right, Ian, you're going to go first. Here we go. Quote. Cut 4 cast slogan, : math doesn't capture love.
So somebody said it like that with a colon?
No, the colon was, you know, Cut 4 cast slogan, math doesn't capture love.
Math doesn't capture love. Okay. I don't think I said this. I think that it was probably Dakota.
No.
Oh. Did I say that?
You said that, Gemma. That was you.
Okay.
Well done. I'm glad
that.
You know that.
In
so.
What, in what context could I have possibly
it doesn't
said
matter.
That?
The context is irrelevant. All that matters is the quote. All right, here
I
we go,
I feel better
Gemma.
About getting it wrong because Gemma also
I didn't
remember that
know.
She said it.
I would have thought you said that, Dakota.
All right, Gemma, here we go. We're long overdue for a president with a neck tattoo.
Ian.
Yes.
I did say that.
I remember that.
Is that... in reference to Yadi Molina?
It is.
I believe
it was,
so.
Yes. Okay. It was.
I stand right. by that statement.
Yeah, it's true. I would vote Sydney LaRue as a neck tattoo. I would vote for her for president.
Absolutely.
I've made that very clear time and again, even though she's Canadian. All right. If we're down, this is Ian, this is for you. If we're down 9-1 in the eighth and I hit a solo shot, that's still me time.
I said that.
You did say
you
that.
Did say
well
that.
Done.
I also stand by that.
All right, Gemma, here we go.
Okay.
Hipsters don't have a ton of swag.
I'm pretty sure I said that.
No.
Did you?
Ian, do you want to steal? Hipsters don't have a ton of swag.
No, I remember when I was talking about swag now. It had nothing to do with hipsters.
Wow. If Gemma didn't say it, did I say it?
One of the two of us.
I think Dakota said that.
I did say that. That was me. All right. Well done.
Gemma, both. Did you think that you said something you didn't say and didn't say the thing?
Well, I thought Dakota said the thing about math and that I said the thing about hipsters, but apparently I can't tell our own sentiments apart.
Yeah, clearly not. All right, here we go.
It's because you hate keeping score. That's why I thought you said that. Pick friends over keeping score.
Yeah, like manually keeping score.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. This is the last one I have. So who is this? Ian, is this you? I think this is you.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
All right. I don't think that the actual Captain America has a lot of swag, and therefore his namesake also does not. This is a hot take. I just want to throw that out there.
So this is in reference to David Wright, I think. Oh, man. This swag episode was a long time ago. It's like one of our first ones, I think. Maybe.
I think so.
I think... Man, this is tough. I think... Dakota said this.
I said that.
Gemma said that.
That's, you know, I thought maybe the hipster thing was actually a part of that weird tirade I went on.
I was trying to picture like one
David Wright's
saying...
amount of swag.
I'm trying to picture one of you saying the word namesake. I wasn't sure what
I mean, it would be Ben, but Ben's not included.
Yeah, so you guys did really poorly on this. You tied at one each.
Didn't I steal one? Yeah, I got two right.
There was not like a real steal. But yes. This isn't. There's no Hugh Jackman here talking about real steal. Okay. That was for Michael Clare, that one. Okay, but so I don't know. We'll figure out who gets to go last later on by my own.
Dakota should probably just go.
Yeah, first.
First.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so let's move into our first discussion topic here. Obviously, we are approaching the end of the regular season. There's going to be a lot of debate about the big awards, MVP. Cy Young, Rookie of the Year. We thought, you know what? Those are good awards. They have their place, but it's probably about time for another award to come in and join it. And who better to think of those awards than us, the Cut 4 staff? We're going to try to fix a postseason later, even though it's not broken. And then we're going to also invent this award right now. So, Ian, why don't you go first and let us know what award you think should be added to the big major end of season awards.
Sure. So I feel like most aspects of baseball are covered by an award. You know, there's Cy Young for best pitcher, there's Silver Slugger for best hitter each position, MVP for overall value. You know, there's plenty of other, even like the relief award, there's that one, which I think they named after Mariano now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's one aspect that I don't think is covered by any award, which is base running.
Oh.
So, you know, you got pitching, defense, hitting, all covered. Base running is overlooked. So I propose the Rickey Henderson Award for best base runner. I think this award should be purely objective. There's going to be no voting by anyone. Okay. So, like, there's those metrics out there that can measure how much value any player has added on the bases. I think whoever has the most gets this award. But the best part, the Rickey Henderson Award, there's a ceremony, okay, in which Rickey Henderson will present the award to whoever wins and then just tell stories about why that player reminds Rickey of Rickey in the third person.
That's a really good idea.
I like that.
So this year, according to Fangraphs, has Ben Revere with the most value added on the base paths, followed by Kevin Pillar and Mookie Betts.
Yeah, Mookie Betts.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
Those three were far and away the highest. So one of them would win the Rickey Henderson Award and then get some face time with Rickey himself.
I have a slight tweak to that. Okay. What if, because if we're going by the statistics, somebody is voting, and it's whoever created the statistics, right? Can't measure heart and hustle.
In a way.
So what if we take the top three and then let Ricky pick?
Okay, I'm down with that.
You're down with that?
Yeah, he should pick. He shouldn't know. He should pick on stage. Like, they should both, all three of them should be there, and then he shows up and picks
you.
He just, like, looks at them and decides.
Yep, that's how it
Great.
Goes.
No video. He doesn't even look at the stats. He just looks at them.
Right. Like, the stats can be there, but it's...
okay.
He's not going to look at the stats.
He's not going to look.
No. Yeah. It's all about...
Ricky knows.
Grit, the feel of the game.
He can feel it. He can just feel it. Yeah. All right. I like that.
That's good. So that you, really your good. Choice would be Ben Revere, then?
Yeah.
Just analytically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your
I have no idea what goes into those stats. Basically, like, stolen bases, I think. But I think it's also like taking extra bases on throws and stuff is incorporated. So base running overall.
General base running. Good job. All right. I like
Very
that.
Good award.
That is a good award.
That's really good.
I agree that it's underrepresented in the awards. That's an important aspect. Gemma, what do you have? What would be a good award?
Well, Ian took this seriously and had like a real stat, and I like things that I can just decide on subjectively with only my opinion being the right one, as you know from previous episodes of the Cup Forecast. So I decided that there should be a most delightful player award, which goes to players who we love so much. We love them, but they might not actually be the best at traditional baseball skills, but they bring us so much joy that's a big part of what the game is about, you know, is like their antics and their dance moves and their attempts to tell jokes about bison. What I'm saying is that I would like to give Minoru Kawasaki many awards, and this is the one that I can find for him. You know, we could have one winner from the AL and one from the NL, like Bartolo Colon could get this award, you know, and I feel like the three of us, could be the people who voted on this award every year. I just want more power for Cup 4 is what
See,
I'm saying.
Here's my issue with that, is that I don't want that responsibility, because then I know after I cast my ballot, there's going to be like 100 articles on the internet about why I'm terrible and dumb for voting the way I voted.
Yes, but then everyone will be like, oh, Dakota Gardner, he's that guy who, you know, didn't vote for the stirrup socks guy, and instead, I don't understand that at all. It'd be great.
That's, I don't want that power. I don't want that at all.
I do. I absolutely do. I want it for us, for the three of us.
As someone who has handed Mooney Kawasaki an award before.
That's true.
Mooney won the Cut 4 award, or the Gibby Award last year for Cut 4 Moment of the Year. Two years ago?
We presented it last year.
He was overjoyed.
See? How great. More awards for him.
But definitely. He should get as many awards as possible.
Yeah.
Go to MLB.com.
And this is the award that I could find for him to get.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yes. Go to MLB.com/video. If you search for Minoru Kawasaki, that video will pop up for sure. You may scroll a little bit, but it'll be there. You'll see Ian's
it'll be there.
Just glowing face right there.
They crop me out of most of it. Rightfully, as they should have.
How was it to talk to him?
It was good. There was a bit of a language barrier, but we overcame it. You know, our mutual admiration could span
mutual admiration. Language. He's a fan of yours, too.
I think so.
Talk to him again in Japan?
I did talk to him again.
So you're friends.
Yeah.
Does he run, like, a Japan blog about the many antics of Ian Kay?
He might. But when I saw him in Japan, I whipped out my phone and showed him the video of us so he would remember in case he'd forgotten.
And he said, no, I didn't forget. I could never forget.
Well, because he wasn't, you know, he was a little skeptical of talking, you know, on camera the second time. But once I reminded him of our previous relationship, then he was more
Remember, I gave you an award, so this is going to be fine.
You might get another one.
We should just constantly have trophies for Minoru Kawasaki.
Just
give
on
him.
Us at all times, yeah, in case we run into him.
Just in case. Yeah. All right, I sort of also had, I took it somewhat seriously, somewhat not seriously. I came up with two because I was really indecisive. The first one, I stole both of these, I'm not going to lie, from other sports. The first one I stole from the NBA, I don't understand. We have Comeback Player of the Year, and that's kind of a weird award. No one really knows who it goes to or why. Mm-hmm. I thought, that's great, but why don't we also have a Most Improved Player? There is no actual Most Improved Player award, and I feel like that would be a really cool award.
Yeah.
I think every so often, like, one of the big storylines of the year is that somebody took a leap, and there was that year that Jose Bautista, like, obviously was the Most Improved Player and stuff like that. It'd be nice to to acknowledge that. I thought, you know, some guys this year, obviously, you know, Bryce Harper and Josh Donaldson are both probably going to win MVPs, but they could easily also win the most improved player award. Could it have Cespedes or Bogarts there? But I thought ultimately the guy who really embodies this award is Jake Arrieta.
Yeah,
finally put it all together. He may not win the Cy Young because of the Dodgers organization having the monopoly on who's probably going to win that. But, you know, he deserves some sort of acknowledgement. I feel like most improved player would be a nice way to acknowledge those kinds of guys. That was award one. Award two.
Dakota's putting out an entire award show.
I'm going to do a whole show right now. Welcome to the first annual Gardner Awards. No,
you get like a little rake? Is that what you get?
Wow. Real original there. A garden joke. You know, remember when I was talking about how Brett Gardner and I, even though we've never met, have a mutual bond over this exact thing? This is what I'm talking about. People make a gardening
joke.
You
know what? Without I'm those sure jokes, what would you guys even have in common? So, you're
oddly,
welcome.
Oddly shaped, heads.
Welcome.
We would have that in common. Okay. My second award, totally stealing from FIFA, an organization that has no problem with thievery.
Whoa.
Burn. Okay. And that is, they have the goal of the year. Why don't we have the home run of the year? That, I think, is an award that people would absolutely be fighting. Players would, like, really want to hit the home run of the year. That would be a really thrilling thing. It would be on par with the home run derby.
It would just, like, spawn so many arguments. Like, should it be pure distance that
counts?
Well,
that's the thing. Like, I don't know. So I couldn't really think of, like, how to put it together. For me, my small brain, I only was able to think of distance. And so I thought the longest home run of the year, according to StatCast, was a 495-foot home run from Chris Bryant. From September 6th against the D-backs, that certainly would be a nominee there. 495 feet is insane.
Right.
But you're right, though. Like, the theatrics and stuff, I don't know.
Like, would you want to say, like, any walk-off home run would automatically be considered, and especially if it was, like, a later season walk-off home run and that game had playoff implications? Like, that would be a pretty great home run.
I know.
You know? What about home runs that, like, what about, like, the trick shot home run that landed right on top of the foul pole? Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and, like, you know? Into the cove, you get bonus points for that.
Splash, yeah.
I personally would probably name this award after Barry Bonds. I know, you know, there are other options out there. There's already a Hank Aaron Award, just saying.
He did hit the most home runs. Barry Bonds, so, hard to deny.
Yeah, I don't know. Ian, what do you think would be the home run of the year? It's tough to put you on the spot.
It is tough. I think I would probably go with the Bryant one, just because like that was so massive, and I think it was the longest of the year by a decent margin.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, by like at least 15 feet, I think.
Yeah. I think I'd probably go with that. I could see arguments for other ones, like, you know, just based on the drama or where they landed, all those things. Personally, I'd go by the book as a voter, I think, and just go with the distance.
I think there would be two schools immediately that split off. Like, there would be a clutch camp, a definite, that's like
that's
any,
why this this award needs to exist, so we can have those fights about something really silly like this, because those are the best
fights. I love silly fights.
They're the best fights. Yes. All right, well, let's move on.
I kind of like bench clearing brawls.
Oh, yeah, you're pro, pro brawls.
All right, well, you're on record saying it now,
Ian is now called as being pro brawl, everybody. You can direct your hate mail to him. All right, let's move on to our next topic here. And this one, you know, I'm going to be honest here. This is the Cut 4 Cast is a safe space. And so I feel like I can be honest with you listening. I can be honest with you, Ian, and you, Gemma. Mm-hmm. I did not like the wild card game when it first was announced. I was skeptical. And I have now completely changed my mind, and I now love it and don't ever want to see it go away. I think it's amazing. I love it. It's such high drama. Each of them have been really good, too. That really helps. So, you know, I was thinking, what other ways could you tweak the postseason to add even more drama or other sorts of weirdo storylines to it? And, you know, these ideas don't have to be realistic. They can be ridiculous, as I'm sure they will be. Mine certainly is. But I just was curious if you guys had any other ideas. Gemma, why don't you go first?
All of mine are just basically, you know, tweaks. They're just all really crazy.
Okay.
But I also really like the wild card game because I really like the stakes are so high, and you can never say, oh well, tomorrow, you know, because that's it. So I decided that we should make some rules that create that same sense of urgency in other parts of the series. So I'm pretty okay with the way it is now, you know, the general setup. So I just made up some rules that can make things way more dramatic.
What do you got?
We talked about this. I don't remember if we talked about this on a podcast or if we were just talking about it. But like last year, there was the longest by time postseason game that was like the 16-inning Nationals game. Mm-hmm. So every time there's an extra inning, perhaps, in a postseason game, I think you have the chance to win two games. Oh. So like if it goes into the 10th inning, if your team wins past that inning, then you just go automatically up two games.
Whoa.
Yes.
Okay.
That's intense.
Yes.
That's backbreaking.
And it would be, it could really ruin something for you or give you a big starting advantage.
Man, that'd be really tense too. Like if you're already down a game.
Yeah, and then you lose, then you really lost two games. Yeah. Because, you know, if I'm gonna watch, you know, 7 hours of baseball in a night, I'm watching two games. It's worth two games. That's how I feel about that.
So,
yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like then you should extend that longer, though. Like, mm-hmm. It should be, like, the 14th, 15th inning is when that kicks
Yeah, out. Probably. It probably shouldn't just be the 10th, because that's not that.
Yeah, like, a lot of games go to extras. And there's something to be said for, like, that early extras walk-off. But mm-hmm. then once it gets into that, like, the doldrums of, like, uh-huh. medium-length extra innings.
Yeah. No game ever goes 12 innings.
Yeah.
They go 10 or 11, or they go 16.
Exactly.
Yes. And once you're in 16, you're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Is it going to go 16 tomorrow, too? This could be, I could just be watching, like, the equivalent of 12 baseball games over the course of the series, you know?
That would heighten the drama.
Yes.
That would definitely heighten the drama.
Mm-hmm. That's
right. Do you have another rule? Or is
that's
that
my
it?
Most well-thought-out one.
Well, let me hear your most poorly thought-out one.
Everything else sort of, okay, so I always used to joke about this during the World Cup. It's like, basically, I think that once you hit overtime during the World Cup, like, once you start adding periods on at the end of games, you should just put more balls in play. So it's like, how can I adapt this for baseball? And there's really no way to do this except for to just put more of the field in play, I think.
Okay.
So this is also an extra innings rule. So foul balls would just be in play. Like, you'd have to, there would be radical changes to the way ballparks were laid out for this rule to work. But they'd have to be like cricket. So if you were to, like, foul off a ball and it would go behind you, it would be in play, you know?
I feel like you should make less of the field in play, right? Like, shouldn't it be like, you know, like, you can only hit a home run to center?
Yeah, but then I feel like that would just the time.
That's
it would
true.
Just go
it would
on
go a
and
lot
on.
Longer.
I was trying to figure out, like, what the best way would be to, like, add a second, like, add another
well,
element.
You could do the hockey
focus.
Thing and just take away a player.
Right.
You could.
That'd be kind
and then
of
do
fun.
That every inning.
I like that rule. I wanna see that.
It's like by like the 18th inning or whatever, it's pitcher and the batter, and it's just running at the ball.
Like, it's one of those
I
things
would like,
where,
to
like
see
baseball
that.
Has the exact right number of players, and yes. if you take off one player on defense, the inning would never end.
Never. Yeah.
That'd be fantastic. Yep. Now I wanna watch that.
See, there we go. I'm glad we could work that out.
All right, Ian, what do you got? What's your postseason idea?
Well, I think the postseason is pretty good.
Okay, going out on a limb there.
The best thing about the postseason is when there are postseason games, and the worst thing about the postseason is when there are no postseason games.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they should just play all the games back-to-back. Like, AL wildcard game ends, bring on the NL wildcard game again. NL wildcard game ends, ALDS 1, game 1. That ends, NLDS game 1. And just continuously 24 hours a day for as long as it
Joe
takes.
Buck calls the whole thing.
And yeah, so players yeah. can only sleep for like the time that their team is not on
right.
the field.
Well, they can sleep like whenever they're not playing. So in the DS, you know, you have four series.
Right.
Like, you play every fourth game. But then by the World Series, you just play seven games back to back.
That would be really intense.
That would be so. Yeah. Would you get to have expanded rosters for that? Like, how? Or would everyone just be like,
that would be
no. I don't think so.
That would be like the single most intense thing in like major American sports.
Yeah.
I'm not like a huge fan, but I think that's how cricket works.
Yeah.
It just goes for days.
Tea
Is
breaks.
That really how it works?
Do they get tea breaks? You get a tea break in cricket when everyone just stops and has tea.
I feel
tea.
Like most baseball players aren't that into tea.
Well, coffee breaks. Coffee break. But tea
yeah,
in
you
the
can
sense
have a,
that you
can
also
have a
get like tiny little sandwiches
yeah, sandwich.
And like a cookie.
You can play.
Cucumber sandwiches.
A cucumber sandwich.
Maybe
yes.
you have to eat sandwiches like when you're not batting.
In the
but
outfield.
I think that
that's what the
they
pockets
should
are
play
for.
It back to back. I didn't go back. I didn't do the math on like how many days that would take.
But you can knock it out in a week, probably.
Probably.
That's so fast.
Yeah, I want to see it all. Fans wouldn't sleep either.
Yeah, you'd just stay
awake
the entire week.
That'd be an expensive ticket, though, because you'd have to just sell one postseason ticket.
Right. It would probably be in one stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd have to be.
For that, you'd build, like, the postseason stadium. Yeah. And that's what it'd be called. And, like, mm-hmm. it would be on, like, an island in the middle of nowhere. It would just be like, yes, this is where it happens. There'd be, like, dramatic ads for it.
Postseason
island. Yeah. Postseason island.
It sounds so ominous.
It should. It should be intense. Yeah. It's intense.
Really
like
intense.
You gotta hype it up.
And when you lose, they put your torch out.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. That's perfect. Some good cross branding.
Good.
That would help. Okay, I again stole my idea from FIFA. From soccer. Uh-huh. So in soccer, in Europe specifically, is where this is most common. You play your league season. You cheer for your team. Then that team wins the league. If that team places in the top in England right now, in the top four spots, they get to move into a special league called the Champions League. That league happens concurrently with the next year's season. And it's essentially a massive playoff involving a bunch of the best teams from Europe. I think we should adopt that for baseball. And so what I'm suggesting is actually breaking the postseason into sort of two things. The first is the World Series as we've always known it. We throw it back and we say the best team in the American League plays the best team in the National League as determined by their regular season record. Just like old school. You win the pennant with the best record. They play a 7-game World Series as they normally would. But the 5 best teams from each league move into the MLB Champions League, which happens concurrently with the next season. And they play the best teams from Japan. They play the best teams from Korea, from Cuba, all around the world in a massive tournament that happens concurrently with the following season. What do you think?
I'm a fan of this.
I would like to watch this.
Because I believe that like we should just be playing multiple seasons at a time.
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. there should always be, I'm a fan of more, which is why I want to see every game back to back. Like, yes. Start the 2016 season in July. You know, like, why only play double headers and you're playing one 2015 game, one 2016 game?
Yeah.
I've been saying this for a long time. Just give me more. So I'm a fan of playing another league at the same time as the regular league.
Yeah, and, like, you could expand it out too. So, like, you know, we could still play baseball through October. It's just, you know, there's more baseball. You could take a little break to have these international competitions, and then you come back together.
Well, I also like this because it could ultimately lead to year-round baseball if we wanted it to, right? If you were like, okay, so our Champions League season is actually going to start in, like, January or, you know, November, if you're Ian and it's just gotta go. And that could just all be in Australia, you know? It could just, that's where, like...
Yeah, on Playoff Island.
Playoff Island, which is off the coast of Australia. It'd be great. I'm sure there's one there that we could just borrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, be nice.
See, this is a good idea. People like that. And we can, you know, I personally always wanted to see, like, a competition between, like, the best Japanese team and the best
American team. I definitely want to see that, yeah.
So let's just expand it out and let everybody be involved. Australia, mm-hmm. since they're lending us Playoff Island, their best teams can be part of the Champions
yes.
League. Why not?
Why not?
Why not the slogan of the Cup Forecast for this week? All right.
Remember that for the quiz. 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move into this last question. This one comes to us from Twitter via Michael Bode at @mgbode_WFNY. Shout out to you, sir. Not a radio station.
I was trying to do the math of that a radio station?
Just letters. he asked us, which major leaguer has the best smile? And I think that's a great question. He suggested Francisco Lindor, or maybe he could be convinced for Ken Griffey Jr. if we're going to go with some retro players. I think Griffey's a good choice, and Lindor obviously a good choice as well. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think? Ian, what do you think? Who has the best smile in MLB?
There's a lot of good smiles in MLB, but I think Yoenis Cespedes may have the best smile.
He has a good smile. Yeah.
Because like he also has a really good serious face when he's focused, but then every once in a while he'll like, throw out some runner with an insane throw and just like crack a smile. And it's kind of a like, it's a combination of like he's really having a lot of fun, but also like, you know, he got him. Like sort of prankster smile.
Yeah.
The prank was that he's got a rocket for an arm.
What a prank.
What a good
so
prank, yeah.
I enjoy
what a
seeing
prank.
That. I feel like we've seen it a lot in the last month or so from him. So I think that might be the best smile.
Yeah. That's a good choice.
I can get on board with that.
Gemma, what do you think? Who has the best smile?
Guess what I'm going to say.
I'm going to guess Andrew McCutcheon.
I do love Kutch. Okay. And I know that you would have guessed that I said something about how much I love Kutch if that was in the quiz, because I talk about him all the time. But I'm actually going to go with Miggy.
Oh.
The other cliche thing about me.
Tigers fan picking Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah. He has a really adorable smile. It's just really cute. It's very childlike, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whenever he smiles, he's always, like, goofing around, like, joking with someone on first base, like, picking up Jose Altuve and carrying him around, like, giggling. I just think it's very playful, and I appreciate that spirit. Kutch is definitely a strong runner-up for me.
Yeah, so. I'm surprised you didn't go with Kutch.
Yeah.
I was not expecting you to be a massive homer.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, I would never be caught dead being a massive homer. All right. Which is why I'm saying David Ortiz.
Exactly.
No, I do have him on the list, however, I think... Any list of the best smiles in baseball would be a bad list if you didn't at least give an honorable mention to Big Poppy. That's his nickname is Big Poppy. Doesn't that make you smile? I did not go with him, however. Nor did I go with Andrew McCutcheon, who was on my list as
Definitely
well.
On my list.
And I was expecting you to steal him, which is part of why I didn't go with him.
Strategy here.
Strategy,
a little strategy.
Strategy failed.
I thought Prince Fielder, great baseball smile.
Great baseball smile.
But you know who I landed on? Jeff Francoeur. And let me tell you, not only a great baseball smile, but when he stands in at the plate and stares at the pitcher, he has this like grimace, and he's always smiling. Literally 100%
really
of the time, he is smiling.
Smile. He does.
Jeff Francoeur.
Your relative, Jeff Francoeur.
My distant relative, Jeff Francoeur.
Are you related to Jeff Francoeur? Is that real?
My uncle's wife's like cousin is married to Jeff Francoeur or something like that, or niece.
Wow.
Yeah.
Has that ever been disclosed in the podcast before?
I don't know that that has ever been disclosed.
Hey, Frenchie, we're hanging out with like your second cousin once removed or whoever he is to you. Come talk to us about how great your smile is.
So that's my distant relative, Jeff Francoeur.
Can I give a smile shout out to an up-and-coming young smiler?
Please do.
In Miguel Sano.
Oh, yeah.
I think like there's times when I see him and maybe it's like the Twins thing, but there's shades of Big Poppy in his smile as like the big guy DH kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And like he's got this kind of bromance going on with Byron Buxton and he smiles and there's just something that like maybe he can carry the torch from Ortiz.
I really hope so. Something tells me they're not going to let him get away, however, the Twins.
I don't think so.
Something tells me that. But I agree, definitely like an up-and-coming smile prospect. Mm-hmm. In a similar way to Lindor is a smile prospect
for sure
as well. So thank you, Michael, for that tweet.
It's
that
a really
was
good question.
Yeah. If you have any questions you think would be interesting for us to discuss on the Cut 4 Cast or that you think would be really boring for us to discuss on the Cut 4 Cast, we don't discriminate against those. So please tweet them at us, at Cut4, with the hashtag Cut4Cast. But before we finish up, it's time for the part of the show that everybody loves, where we take everything that we've discussed today, wrap it into a neat little package of 140 characters that you could tweet out. Essentially, what I'm asking the two of you, nay, challenging the two of you to do, is sum up our podcast in one tweet. Ian, since you're making a face, and since you guys tied on the Cut4 Cast Pop Quiz,
I thought Dakota was going first.
You both tried to make me go first, but you both failed at that quiz, so you are gonna go.
Oh, I'm trying to think of what we talked about.
It's all just gone.
We didn't talk
no
about
memory.
Anything, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah.
Okay. What happens after the conclusion of the back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back MLB playoffs, the Ricky Henderson Awards presentation.
That was good.
That was good.
Really
you
good.
Packed a lot in there. That was good.
Yeah.
Hashtag Cut 4 Cast.
Hashtag Cut 4 Cast.
Hashtag important, important.
Retweet
me.
I would retweet that.
I'd retweet it.
All right, Gemma, what do you got?
I'm going to try to just pack a bunch of Twitter handles into this
good
one.
Idea.
Okay.
Uses up all 100.
People love that. People love when you look at a tweet and it's just exclusively handles.
Yes, that's all. Yeah. I'm just going to tweet all of our handles. No, okay, it's going to be, should the hashtag postseason, comma, like at Drake, comma, go back to back? Meet us on Playoff Island to discuss.
That's good. That is a good one. I'll fave that for Playoff Island.
Thank you.
Definitely fave it.
Thanks.
All right, here's mine. Is MLB Champions League MVP David Ortiz the best hashtag MLB smiler?
Ooh.
There it is.
The rhetorical question is popular.
Yes, yes, so popular.
Yeah.
I will answer, though. I'll just tweet back with a picture of Miggy smiling.
So that's a no?
Yeah.
Is this the first time all three of us have done tweets and nobody's embarrassed themselves?
I know, those were not disasters.
This might be it. Yeah. That was impressive. We're getting in our own postseason form.
Tweet at Drake.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, you threw in a Drake.
I know you guys don't like Drake, but I like Drake.
I like Drake. I don't care.
Okay.
Points counted off for that. If you have a tweet that more accurately sums up this podcast in 140 characters, I don't know that you do this week, but I would be interested to see you try.
Or if you're Drake or Jeff Francoeur. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or if you're Drake or Jeff Francoeur, please tweet us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. If you're not, you're also welcome to tweet us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, and it will be automatically delivered into your listening device every single week. You can read more of our writing and other content at MLB.com/Cut4. You can follow us on Twitter at Cut4. You can like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/Cut4. Let me tell you this. While you're on iTunes subscribing to our podcast, please take a moment to rate our podcast and write us a review. If you write a review, we will read it on the show. And we have a review this week that will be read.
Yay!
It is from iTunes user Keanuthon, presumably somebody who enjoys the films of Keanu Reeves.
I would assume, yes.
I would assume.
Yeah.
It wasn't me, but I do enjoy it.
Here it is. This one's lengthy, so buckle up. 5 stars. Total awesomeness.
How nice.
I know. It's very kind. Are you the sort of individual who looks forward to your favorite podcast with a slavish anticipation of the newest Bubiel Schoenberg musical? Parentheses. Even if it's The Pirate Queen or Martin Guerre. I'm terrible at musicals, which is why I just butchered all of it. Yes? No? Maybe? Regardless, your answer. This hard-hitting podcast answers all the big questions of the world, baseball, and otherwise. Should hot dogs be banned at non-baseball settings? Bam!
Yes.
Answered. How great would a Puig-Arriba road trip be? Bam! Start listening. Now you know. What would be the coolest baseball cap? The coolest new baseball cap? Bam! Why haven't you subscribed? You'd already know. Listen to the Cut 4 Cast, the finest cast in all the land, but only if you want your life to be awesomer.
That's wow. An amazing review. That's a truly amazing review. I'm glad that we basically really only attract the theater crowd.
We did. People love the theater.
Musicals,
they love the podcast.
I wonder how
podcast.
That could happen based on the podcast.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I'm bad with musicals, so...
Well, that guy's the new co-host. So.
Yeah, that guy. I'm leaving now.
Do you
want to
be
replaced.
On the show?
Yeah, I'm being replaced by Keanuthon. But if you want to write a review, have it read on the show, we'll read the negative ones. We really will.
Yep.
I swear.
We will.
And we'll make fun of your grammar. For example, regardless your answer, Keanuthon.
Ooh.
He just gave us the nicest review. He couldn't make fun of his grammar.
I'm gonna throw some shade.
Also, it's okay. He's taking your job.
Keanuthon,
welcome.
Don't leave too many negative reviews.
Ian says no negative reviews. So.
Even if we will read them if you do, but...
Ian's advice... Stay positive.
But you might make one of us cry, so don't do that.
Yeah, no, we're all very sensitive, so don't do that.
Yeah.
But please, thank you so much for listening. Thank you guys for being here. Ian, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Dakota.
Gemma, thank you for always being here.
Yeah, of course.
And we'll talk to you next week.